Lord, we do thank you and we bless you and we love you. God, we need you. So much going on. So much has happened from Sunday to Sunday, Lord. We just thank you, God, for covering and keeping us danger seen and unseen. Protecting us, Lord. Loving us unto yourself. Reminding us, Lord, through each encounter that there is a God, a living God, who fights our battles, who's with us, who goes before us and prepares a way for us to follow. Thank you for being God. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word, Lord. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. In the book of Proverbs, it said it's a lamp, it's a light, and it's life. Oh, thank you for the life that comes out of your word, God. The abundant life that you give us as we walk in obedience. Your word tells us how to think, how to act, how to love, how to give, how to forgive. It leaves nothing to chance. It's all on purpose. Let us study your word on purpose. Let us live on purpose, God. Let us seek you and run to you on purpose. Open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear what the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to his church, his body this morning. Bless your people to hear. Bless your people to live. Transform us, Lord, by the power of your word. We don't just want information. We want revelation that leads to transformation. Bless your people now, Lord, as you transform us in the spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we continue the series, The Light of the World, we know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Our I Am statements we've done, I am the bread of life. We're still on I am the light of the world. Then in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and 14, Jesus passed the baton to us and said, now you're the light of the world. We have to let our light shine. We talked about our light shines as we walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the meekness, the self-control allows your light to shine so people can see the good works in you and glorify God in heaven. Your light also shines by us walking in love. So through the fruit of the Spirit and the love of God, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love is not envious. It doesn't keep a record. It's not puffed up. It's not jealous. It doesn't rejoice in wrong. It's the love. When people see that love, they can see the light of God that's in us. So we pick up the story. The blind man has been healed. He's been rejected by his parents, the Pharisees. So we pick it up at verse 30, and he's starting his first sermon. The man answered and said unto them, why hearing is a marvelous thing. If you don't have it underlined, please underline. This is a marvelous thing. This is a miracle. That you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Just make a note. It takes a certain type of person to find fault in a confirmed miracle of God. Somebody say amen. It just takes a certain type of critical spirit that wants to mess up a miracle. Amen. So we have this man who was born blind and now he's able to see and they have a problem with it. So I'm studying as God is showing me that we have miracles today. The sun comes up and goes down and there's just no way to explain it other than the hand of God. You can try and make other attempts, but we know that it just didn't happen. But then when we look at the miracle of the resurrection, and that's why I'm going to encourage you to start. When you're talking with people, don't argue. Just go right to the resurrection. The miracle of the resurrection. Let's take a quick look. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, Dominique. So Paul talks of the resurrection. He gives us the gospel. Folks, this is the message we have to stand on. This is where we start. You can't argue about opinions. You can't get into politics. You have to stand on the gospel, the miracle. The miracle of Jesus Christ being seen of over 500 people at one time. And then people still want to deny his existence. The circumstantial evidence of the people going to the temple, the blind man, remember, he's in the temple. He's overhearing things as he's blind in the temple because he's getting ready to get kicked out of the temple. So they go from the temple to thousands of people getting saved, and then the church's birth. So where does the church come from? Because the gospel being preached and folks getting saved. And they went from the temple to the church. We weren't there, but we're in the church right now, so we know something happened. That is the circumstantial evidence. We don't have to argue, were you there? No, but I'm in here right now, and I know that the church exists, and there are Christians. So Paul talks about the gospel. He says, Now I make it known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, underline received, wherein also you stand. So for the gospel, you have to receive it, and then you got to stand on it's the foundation for what we believe in as Christians. If you don't receive it, then when you stand before God, remember, he says, we're getting ready to read it again right now. If you don't believe in it, then whatever you believe in, that's what you're counting on to, that's what you're trusting to save you when you stand before God. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, underline received, and wherein you stand. We stand on the gospel. Verse 2, by which also you are saved. See the connection. You receive it, you stand on it, it saves you. Amen? Amen. So if you're not standing on the gospel, whatever you're standing on, your bank account, your retirement account, your good looks, your skill, your intelligence, the Big Bang Theory, whatever you are standing on, that's what you are counting on to save you. Whatever you're trusting in, that's a rude awakening, family, when you stand before God. And you say, well, I was a good person. I tried to do this. I helped. That's what you're going to stand on? You really want God to roll the tape back on your life starting about what age? What age do we get out of? Is it 2? Well, where do you want to? For some of y'all, y'all know y'all can start at 2. Others maybe can start at 5, right? Like, but at 2, if we see the tape of you at 2, you can't stand on that. I'm telling you. You don't want to stand on that. Hey, we not even talked. Let's just go, 2? Or let's go by 2s, right? Oh, we're not good in math. I forgot about that. We're not good. But we could do 2, like 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Which age you want to stand on? 14? 16? Anybody want to stand on 18? How about 20? How about 22? No, definitely not 22. Somebody say amen. So we count the stand on. We're not that good, amen? We need something. We need a Savior. We need something to stand on. It's the foundation. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Paul makes it clear. Verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have trusted in emptiness. Or you really didn't believe, you just put up a front. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, underline according to the scriptures. It's the word of God. Don't get into opinions. Don't get into what you think, what somebody else thinks. We had our new members class last Sunday, and it was awesome. I want to thank the new members and for being there. But one of them, we talked about the word of God, and it tells how the word of God was written by men that were inspired by God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and God told them what to write. So it's not just like any other book that's out there. This was written by men that were inspired by God. He told them what to write. That's why when we say it's according to the scriptures, it's according to God. It's according to God. That's what it means when it says according to the scriptures, because God told them what to write. Verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. How? According to the scriptures, according to God. Verse 5, this is the gospel, family. So when you hear people talk about what is the gospel, this is the gospel broken down. We stand on it. It's our foundation. And it's what saves us, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we trust and we believe in it. And we commit our lives to it. And verse 4 again, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Peter, then of the 12. And here's where I'm trying to go. Here's the miracle in verse 6. And that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Underline that. Now, when people don't want to change their life, they'll argue about it's not, you know, how do you know it's true? How do you can say what you want to say. It's according to the scriptures. It's according to God. And Paul said, some of them are still alive. Some have passed away. But at this particular time, when Paul was preaching to the church at Corinth, some of the brothers were still alive that saw Jesus resurrected. 40 days, he stayed for 40 days after he had resurrected, and he preached over 500 at once. You can't get two people to agree on anything. And you got 500 who say yes. And so then here's the evidence. For those of us, we were fortunate enough in April to go over to Corinth. We went to where the church of Corinth was. You see that the Christians in Greece and Rome and Turkey, because of Paul going out, we have Christian brothers and sisters all around the world. That's why it makes it idiot stuff to discriminate against anyone. We're over in Greece and there's our Christian brothers and sisters. Why? Because Paul went over there and preached the gospel and told them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we go over to Turkey and we were a little concerned about it because all the stuff you hear in the news, and we go over to Turkey and see our Christian brothers and sisters, and they're really nice and the church is there and it's a beautiful thing. Amen. We got family. Look, we got family all around the world because of this right here, because of the gospel being preached. Then we went to the island of Patmos where John wrote the book of Revelation. And of course, on that island, it's a church there. Why? Because John went there and preached, wrote the Revelation. And the legacy of Christ rising on the third day, according to the scriptures, you have Christians on islands that we don't even know nothing about. It's a circumstantial evidence. But if you don't want to change your life, you argue about anything. But I'm telling you, family, God can be trusted. Verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul said he had the encounter with God at the right time. Verse 9, for I'm the least of the apostles, that I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. So Paul persecuted the church. He killed Christians before he was saved. And people ask you, I had one guy tell me that I don't want to be in heaven next to a serial killer. Well, that might be Paul. I was saying, man, that might be the Apostle Paul. He was killing Christians. I mean, folks, forget that. And we're not that good. So you telling me if some guy, he kills a bunch of people, and then he asks God to forgive him, God, well, that's God. Yeah, I mean, he did it for Paul. And then Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And then we went to the church where Paul is buried at. And we saw the things where it shows Paul getting his head cut off because he wouldn't stop talking about Jesus Christ. Yeah. And it was so people die for what they believe in all the time. Yeah, but if the apostles, if the resurrection was a hoax, they knew it. So they actually died for a lie. Right? We have people who say, this is what I believe in, I'll die for it. Okay, that's what you believe. But the apostles, if the resurrection didn't happen, then they knew it was a lie. And we've talked about this before. Paul is not going to get his head cut off for a lie. Maybe he would. But Peter's not going to be crucified upside down. He cussed a little girl out, saying, I don't even know him. So why would he be crucified upside down saying, do what you got to do? Because of the resurrection. So there's miracles all the time and people want to discount. Let's go back to John 9. Verse 9 and 30. The man answered and said unto them, why hearing is a marvelous. Man, I was born blind and now I'm able to see. You know, we talked about you can't argue with a changed life, but people want to argue about your changed life. Well, that's good for you. No, but I'm trying to tell you that it's God. And he can do the same for you. So family, all we can do is plant seeds and water seeds and let God give the increase. Amen. Just like nobody could change us, Brother Mickey made that clear this morning in the men's meeting. Until we got sick and tired of being sick and tired, nobody could change us. So why are we getting frustrated trying to change people when nobody could change us until we got to that point when we were sick and tired of being sick and tired and cried out to God? So pray for them to cry out to God. Pray to God that they would get sick and tired of being sick and tired of being empty. And he would send a laborer into their life and they would receive the gospel like we did. Don't frustrate yourself. And I'm going to show you in just a minute why not. So verse 30, he answered and said, here's a marvelous thing. You don't know how all this thing happened. We don't know how it happened, but we do know that he's opened my eyes. Then verse 31, remember, if you haven't already, you should have this as the blind man's first sermon. Now he's teaching in the temple based upon what he's heard. Verse 31, he says, now we know. How does he know? Because he's heard when he was in the temple, when he's begging, when he's sitting there. His mom and dad, maybe they brought him. They were afraid to get kicked out of the temple. So we can assume that they brought him to the temple when he was a kid. He would sit there and he would listen to all this. Now he has to teach the religious folks who trying to mess up a miracle. Boy, it takes a certain type of religious folk, boy. No relationship with God, just religion, all based on rules to mess up a miracle. Your life has changed. They say, but this. I just gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Well, so do you know what you got to do? Can you be happy for me that I just gave my life to Christ? If you were praying for me, you'd be happy for me. Now I know you ain't even been praying for me. All right. You just been filled with religion. And now I get saved and you want to start criticizing this, that, and how about you just be happy? How about you disciple me in love and with the fruit of the Spirit? Takes a certain type of religious folks to mess up a miracle. So he's teaching verse 31. Now we know. How does he know? Because he's heard the word. We talked about Hezekiah last week. Maybe he was in the temple when they were reading from the book of Isaiah and talking about the life of Hezekiah. It says we know that God doesn't hear sinners, as it says in the Proverbs. Those that are practicing sin, God says, I don't hear nothing you're saying. And if you don't have it, you can make a note. Proverbs 5 and 8 and Proverbs 15, 29. Make a note and read it a little bit later. We've already gone over it. Isaiah 38, 1, where God hears and God sees and God is faithful. Isaiah 38, 1 through 7. It says, we know, but if any man be a worshiper of God, if any person has a real relationship with God, he does and does his will, does God's will, he hears him. All right, so let's take a look at this. Let's go to James 5. Book of James, chapter 5. And let's see what God says about hearing. Talks about praying. Ooh, I love God's word. Look how it starts. So let's start at 5 and 13. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, say, hold up. So now here's the blind man, the man born blind. He wasn't just blind. He was born blind. Now he's teaching the religious folks what the word of God says. It says God doesn't hear those that are practicing sin unless it's a sin of repentance. Amen. Because God heard us when we cried out, when we got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And thank you, God, for hearing, transforming our heart, not giving up on us. And now that we're connected to God and we have a relationship with God and we're praying and we're fasting every morning, we know that God hears us. Verse 13, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing psalms or give praise. So make a note. See, this keeps us connected to God. If you're going through, you're praying. If you're in a good place, you're praising. Notice what it's not. There's no room for complaining. Let me say it again. There's no room for complaining, family. If you're going through, you're praying. If you're in a good place, you're praising. No room for complaining. I love God for that. Either way, we stay connected to God. Either way, we stay connected to God. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall what? Shall save. And that does mean to heal. It means I looked it up just to see if it's rescues, because we know that we can pray and somebody transitions to the other side and they're actually healed. They're actually doing a lot better than us. Somebody say amen. Amen. And it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we know even when we transition, the Lord raises us up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Underline that. Talks about transparency. Talks about authenticity. Talks about being real. You should have someone that you can be real with. Somebody say amen. Amen. You should have at least one person that you can be real with. You can talk about what your struggles are, and they're praying for you and you're praying for them that you may be delivered. Because you know what the enemy wants you to do is keep it to yourself. Keep it swept under the rug, and then you pull it out every time you need it. So this speaks of accountability, speaks of discipleship, speaks of brotherhood, it speaks of sisterhood. I'm really thankful that I have a group of men in here that I'm walking with. And we can talk about anything. And it's not like, Pastor, how could you? It's like, Pastor, I got you covered in prayer. Just like I got you covered in prayer. That's how we get delivered. That's how we get healed. That's how we get set free. And I know the ladies have that same sisterhood in here as well. Talks about God answering prayer. Look what it says at the next verse, or the second half of verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Then it says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man succeeds much or is answered. And that man means mankind. So that includes the ladies as well. It's not something just limited to the men. It's for all of us. Family, if you haven't made a note, you should be praying every morning. And then when you couple that with the fasting before you have your first meal, that's effective, that's fervent, and it avails much. And what makes us righteous, the only thing makes us right is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us righteous. So through Jesus Christ, that's why we pray in Jesus' name. And that prayer succeeds much. And James said, well, if you don't believe me, look at this object example in verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was a man just like us. He was a human just like us. He prayed earnestly. Amen. Underline that earnestly. I don't know, family. How hard are you praying for your kids? How hard are you? Are you praying every morning? When I spoke out at a place for worship, I went over, and it's up on the website. Whatever September, I don't forget what day. You'll see it on the website if you want to listen to the message. But I talked to them about praying for family and for spouses. And I've shared with you before, if you want to, Pastor, I need to talk to you about I'm having issues with my wife, all right? More likely is, Pastor, I need to talk to him having issues with my husband, all right? That's what I normally hear. Anyway, I ain't looking at nobody either, okay? But then I asked the question, are you praying and fasting for him every morning? And if you go, well, you know, I don't really have time, then we can't. It's nothing for us to talk about. If you're saying, Pastor, my kids are off the rails, they're just way out there. And then I'm going to ask you, are you praying and fasting for them every morning? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I call my kids out by name. Cover them, keep them, deliver them. Lord, send laborers into their life, touch their life, God. I can't be there, but you're there, Lord. I need some help. I'm praying and fasting right now based on your word, and I'm praying for my kids. You call them out. If you're not doing that every morning, what can we talk about? What can we talk about? And youth, if you're not praying for your parents like that, you can't complain about your parents. The word says, here's what we know. God does not hear those that are practicing. That's what we know. God doesn't hear those that are practicing sin unless it's a prayer of repentance. That's what we know. Amen. But if any person is connected to God and be a worshiper of God, God hears them. How bad do you want God? How bad do you trust God? How bad do you believe in God? And that's on us. I can't control what my kids are doing. I can only control what I'm doing. And I'm standing on the word of God every morning. And that's all I can do. And I leave the details to God. I trust him that much. Did we sing the song, Faithful God? Then he's always faithful. Not just on Sunday mornings between 9 and 10:30. Family, I've been so liberated. Pastors had to grow up a lot. Somebody say amen. We got one kid in New York, we got one kid in New Orleans, we got one kid in Phoenix. All I can do is pray. I'm not worried. I sleep well at night. I'm enjoying this empty nest thing, Sister Zara. I'm enjoying this thing. I don't care. Hey, look, I'm praying for them. They do what they want to do. I know what I'm doing. I'm praying for y'all, and I know, and I trust God is going to be all right. It's already all right. Are any of them in church this morning? I have no idea. But I trust God that he's going to intervene at some point, just like he did for us. And I sleep well at night, and I'm enjoying this empty nest thing. I ain't tripping, y'all. I'm telling you, I had to grow up. What are you going to do? Walk around worrying about everything, saying that you love God and you trust God, he's the great I am, and you worrying about everything? And you're complaining? He said, if you're suffering, then you pray. If things are going well, then you give him praise, but you stay connected either way. I'm staying connected, y'all. And I'm encouraging you all. I was reading the back of the bulletin. When you get a chance, take your bulletin home, read the back of it. I'm telling you, it is powerful. Stay connected. Right where you are is right where God wants you to be. Embrace it, walk in it, and stay connected. The more I pray and praise, I have no room to complain. Let me say that again. The more I pray and praise, I have no room to complain. It's the revelation this morning. Let's pick it up at verse 17. And Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. You got to underline that. It's nothing else for us to talk about if you're not praying earnestly for whatever it is. The people on your job. You cannot complain about your boss if you're not praying earnestly every day for your boss. Are you serious? You've been praying? Nah, you know, I don't even want him to get saved. I just want to get rid of him. Why didn't you? You know? I mean, people are sick, psychotic behind the president. Are you serious? I've never seen anything like it. We just know it's the enemy. Just people are sick, psychotic. Now, Christians, for us, see, this is where we come in. The word tells us to pray for all those in authority. People don't even want you to pray for them. Man, what is wrong with us? Like, I'm so good that you don't deserve prayer, but I do. I go home and commit my little sins, and you see big sins, and it's no difference to God. But as Christians, we have the word. We, according to the scriptures, the resurrection, we have life. We have it more abundantly. We need to let our light shine so people can see the good works in us and glorify God, which is in heaven. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm not going to get pulled into some darkness. I'm praying for them. And if you got a problem with that, then you move on. Amen. But I'm not getting into no. I'm this and I'm that. I know what I'm dealing with when I look in the mirror. Folks, be a light, because light exposes darkness. When you shine a light, they got to go, because that's coming from a dark place where they're coming from. It's not coming from the scriptures. There's no place for it in the body of Christ. We're praying earnestly. Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. It's specific. And then verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He had control through prayer. He had connection. He had control through prayer. And I don't know as I was studying this, I'm just trying to figure out, do we have that same type of power to connection to God that we could pray? But it did say he prayed earnestly. He wasn't just, thank you for the food. God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for the food. Amen. Nothing happens, Sister Samson, in our life with those types. He prayed earnestly. He put time in with God, and God said, I'm going to hold it up. Daniel prayed like that, and the angel came to Daniel and said, God sent the answer 21 days, but he had to wrestle against principalities. Right? Took a while, but it came. Folks, I'm just saying, are we praying earnestly? This is what we know, that if any man be, any woman be a worshiper of God, God hears that. This is what we know. This is what he's trying to tell them. This is the same word. And I was studying, I'm trying to figure out, God, can we tap into that? It didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months because he prayed to you and asked you to hold it up for your glory? Not to brag and to boast and vainglory, but for your glory. And God answered, and he said, okay. Elijah prayed, and when you read the story, it says, I see a cloud that looks like a man's hand. It came and brought forth rain. Look where it came from. It came from heaven. So we know that rain doesn't come from clouds, right? I mean, it might appear that it comes from clouds, but it's sent by God. It comes from heaven. All right, let's finish with this. Verse 19. He shifts. He says, brother, family, if any of you do err or wander from the truth, if any of you do kind of go out there away from Christ, and then one helps to turn him back, you need to know the person which brought him back, brought the sinner from the wandering of his way, shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. Speaks of the in reach, where you see folks who used to come to church and they're not here. It says you reach out to them. Maybe they just got a job, they're working on Sundays, or they've been busy, but you reach out to them. If they've wandered out and they come back, then it says you save someone from going the wrong way, destroying their life. And then God says he's hiding a multitude of your sins. I don't know about you, but I need some stuff covered up. Somebody say, hey, man, I got it. I'm gonna make some calls today, amen. I need some stuff covered up. It benefits all of us when we reach out to other people. Somebody say amen. Please write that down, those of you that are taking notes. It benefits both the sinner and the saint when we reach out. Somebody get their sins covered and somebody gets detoured from death. Let's go back to John. Let's finish this up. And we'll pick it up next week. John 9 and 31. Let's just read that again and we'll finish it verse 33. And please make a note. I love how this man born blind is preaching the gospel. When your life has changed, give your testimony. Preach the gospel, give your testimony. Just share. You don't need to know a lot of scriptures. Just share how God has changed your life. Verse 31, 9:31, if you dare say amen. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, he could have said, like Elijah, and doeth his will, he heareth him. Verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Man, he's preaching. He said, I've been sitting in this temple since I was a kid, blind. I can't see, but I hear everything. I've never heard since the world began that there was anybody whose eyes were open that was born blind. Verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Verse 34, they get upset with him because he's preaching to them, telling them what the word says. They answered and said unto him, man, you was altogether born in your sins. In other words, I remember what you used to be like, man, you can't tell me nothing. And you're going to teach me now? They kicked him out. We're going to break that down next week. How folks want to bring up your past when your life gets changed and tell you you can't teach them and they've been in church 40 years and ain't led anyone to Christ. And now you preaching and you teaching and they say, you know what, man, I remember when you was like this, that, and the other. You know what? You just need to leave. Kicked him out. That's where we'll pick it up next week. If you would, just bow your heads quickly. We'll go ahead and I want you to, if the revelation today, we do on Wednesday night, we do our takeaways. I guess our takeaway today is that we got to pray earnestly. Family, we've been talking about it for the last 3 or 4 years, right? Praying and fasting each morning, but spending that time in prayer. God desires to have that time with us, that praying time, that quality time. Said that David got up early in the morning and prayed and talked to God. And here's what we know, that if we are truly connected with God, that God hears us when we pray. Whether the answer is yes, no, not now, wait. Or as he told Hezekiah, get your house in order because you're going to die and you're not going to live. That was an answer. Then he put his face to the wall and he prayed and God gave him 15 years. What's the point? The point is when we're connected to God, God hears and responds. Family, don't waste another day without talking to God each and every day. Don't complain, pray and praise. When you're praying and you're praising, it's no time for complaining. Somebody say amen. So, Lord, forgive us of our sins, of being lazy and being too busy. If we're too busy to pray, then we really are too busy. God, forgive us for having our priorities way out of order and way out of whack. God, we have the privilege, the honor, talking to you daily. God, you created it all. To tap into your wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 says, wisdom was there before the foundation of the world. Wisdom says, if you seek me, you can find me. Wisdom says, there's nothing in this world that you can compare to me. Wisdom says that when we have God, when we have wisdom, we obtain favor from God. In the right hand is riches and honor, and the left hand of wisdom is length of days and long life. We have the opportunity and the privilege every morning to tap into everything that God has for us and to walk in obedience and live an abundant life. Lord, so forgive us for being too busy to listen to you, to walk with you and to talk with you. God, let us rededicate our life to making that connection and staying connected, running to you and not from you. Then, Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I heard the gospel this morning, how Christ died for our sins, resurrected that third day, was seen by over 500 people. And he said, you have to receive it, and then you got to stand on it. I've never accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I can't take it for granted. Maybe it's someone who hasn't, who's not sure if they're saved. And saved just means you're rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Maybe you're here and you're not sure if you're saved and you don't know if you have Christ in your heart. You don't have to guess. The scriptures make it plain. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's you, elevate your hand and say, Pastor, I want to be sure that I'm saved. Normally we do rededication, but I think we've all just rededicated our life to Christ and to prayer and to staying connected and running to God and not from God. So thank you, Lord, that your word says if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what makes us righteous. Confessing our sins and forsaking them so that we would find mercy. And then it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. And we're righteous because we confessed and forsaken the sins. And God's made us righteous through Jesus Christ. So God can hear our prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you've made us righteous so that we can talk to you. What a God we serve. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life. Thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together. Stand to your feet. Give somebody a hug and you are dismissed.